on today.
Well,
and
we don't have to
tell you what we
we're going to have a meeting on Friday for the legislative leader and the cabinet.
Right.
You'll have to talk with them and let them make conference.
Yeah.
Timmons, McGregor, and all of them, I think, too. Try to perhaps work something out on how that should be done. This is basically a meeting which I think trust should be. Verbs and what the strategy should be in dealing with the Congress on the administration's programs. Between the conventions and after the convention. And there, I think you would perhaps start the meeting a greater than a overall view of how things stand.
A political overview?
Yeah, I think so. And then perhaps you, rather than Timmons, want to say that based on what we've seen here and so forth, it looks like this is what they're going to do. Now, maybe if you, I don't know, if you get Scott and Borden, then they can add, you can say, from what we have talked with the leaders and the consensus that we use here, this is what we feel. They're going to concentrate on domestic issues, security with domestic issues that were raised. Here's the position they're going to put those into a bill. The has versus the has not, and so forth and so on. So, quite a lot of people have always said that we come on the idea that it's necessary for us to have a strategy with regard to this time of costing on the next credit platform.
Okay.
That would be a very good point to make. I'd like to have something there that is, and don't fuzz it. Nothing is fuzzed. I don't want to hear it. And,
of course, the problem is they fuzz the platform so much.
Yes.
That it's hard to.
They don't cost out the platform. They'd say cost out some of the extreme proposals. Don't you cost out the.
We've got that.
It's $1,000 offer and then
yeah,
so much money.
Got that.
And,
right. Okay.
We'll layer that to say a word about the defense thing. That's not a bad thing. It's kind of points to kind of great. One other thing I was going to ask you to do, have you done any more thinking about what we do about hijacking?
Yeah, I'm having a meeting with the presidents of those airlines, the major airlines, probably the first of the week. It was supposed to be tomorrow, and it's been postponed. Well,
wait, we got a poll.
That's right, and Bob has that underway.
He has that, right.
But in the meantime, we're going to toughen up regulations. And we've solicited the airlines. They've written back, and this meeting is the last step before we do that.
Yeah. From the standpoint of public interest, regulations, I think it's good. What we're even having instead of not having more is good. If we decide we want to bite the bullet on hijacking, kidnapping, or capital crimes, require capital punishment, you know, they risk lives. And the government risk that. I think we have to get that because then it forces the government to say, no,
yeah.
We are going to do it. That's become the bullet. That's a very strong public.
Right.
That's why we're limiting the question to those two, both hijacking and kidnapping, nothing else. Nothing. Everything else, like rape, murder, or emotion, and so forth, perhaps let them off. Well, I noticed an interesting thing there. Of course, it just involved a kid. A very sad story in Los Angeles, at night in New York, where this kid killed a cop when he was 16 or 17. They let him off on bail. 19 years old and kill somebody.
Yep.
That's the kind of thing that just makes you sick.
Yeah.
Not that they should have killed the kid.
And the interesting thing was that at the time he was let out, the prosecutor made a very strong point, the police chief made a very strong point, and complained bitterly and said, and just predicted that this was going to happen.
I want you to take, there was that incident. Manolo said, the better check with him is to what it is, he read in the New York paper, or in New York. Some fellow had that same thing. He got, they had killed a cop, they killed somebody, they let him out, they killed somebody else. I'd like to have two or three examples like that. The California example, perhaps, is the knockout, just one that I can use in speech and
okay.
You see, that's what I mean by examples. I said, here's an example. So and so did this. He was let out, and he killed somebody else. This is wrong. Christ, the audience will go wild. Every American is freaking out. I think, except for the clues. You agree?
Right. And of course, that was the whole idea here when we had preventative detention, which we got.
You remember that, I'd like to do that.
I'll get those for you.
One other interesting point that you mentioned briefly before you got to your other thing. I noticed that Vietnam veterans and against the war, arrested in the Iraq War, is that a federal offense?
Yeah.
What the hell were they trying to do?
Well, it was conspiracy to disrupt the two conventions
right.
With firebombs and firearms and all sorts of stuff.
Conspiracy. Whatever they going to be tried.
Well, they were, a lot of them had been jailed. I noticed they let some of them out on bond today. But yes, they'll be tried. They'll be indicted and tried.
Well, you know what I have.
Yes, sir. I've passed along that word to the Secret Service.
Keep it. I mean, in this case right there.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You just keep that damn thing hanging right in there and don't have a damn thing dismissed.
I assume without knowing that the Bureau had an infiltrator in that group.
Hold it up.
And
they claimed that.
Yeah, I know they did, but I don't know whether that's true or not.
But in any event, let us just say that we want to be damn sure that those people are held over.
Oh, sure. Sure.
We can do absolutely. What we need to do in our case.
Yep, absolutely.
I saw incidentally that he was flown.
Yeah.
That was a rather nice way to do it, I thought, to a mother. His wife is having a baby.
Yeah.
She's a nice person.
Very nice.
Debbie's home.
Yeah. Oh, and we're going to try and get him a good job with Gabe Huggy or somebody up in the south of New York, out of here, out of town if possible. And Dean's working on that now.
Gabe Huggy, we've got others that
could go
to the bank.
Well, that's his line, but he'll find something that's satisfactory to him.
And you can also enlist my former law partners and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to see them tomorrow.
Yeah, you could say that we need a job for a problem to help a guy and so forth and so on. Her interests and they are up there.
Okay, I'll check tomorrow and see if that'll work.
Now, on this veto strategy,
yeah,
because I felt like we've written proposal and so forth, and kind of nothing to coconut. I kind of decided too strongly that all that really matters is politics.
Yep.
And so we'll be doing things to help. We'll do it in a way that helps the politics. Except that I am not going to sign bills that will make it impossible to govern. So we've got a hell of a problem.
Right.
We've got a hell of a problem. It's like Henry and I gave him some very tough instruction before he went to Paris and said, well, you know, he can sell us. I said, because we've got to win the election. I said, we've got to win the election. We cannot sell out totally here because then our foreign policy would be involved in the speed to receive a criminal. Well, there was a time when there was some flush the whole thing, we can't flush them out. So, see, looking at foreign policy and infrastructure, you see what's happening in Egypt. That sort of thing really wouldn't happen. If the Soviet Union had a free hand, it's the fact that the U.S. is considered to be somewhat reliable and somewhat strong and so forth that countries feel that they can sort of be part of the Soviet line. And, but now, coming to this, Cap, of course, will tell very, very strongly, and there'll be a dip on the line. Saying that it's politically good to be doing and so forth. You and I know that it's politically good, but it could be politically bad. And it says, well, they're just a bunch of people, they don't give a damn, and so forth.
Yeah.
On the other hand, looking clearly beyond that, I just can't go for the line that we'll sign any goddamn thing, which of course might be Elliott's line, or our deployments, or others on the ground, which is you've got to remove the election.
Yeah.
Because we do have, if you look at those god-awful numbers in the future, we do have a problem.
Yeah.
So there sure we are.
Let me
say this. My view of politics is, and I disagree with the outlines, it's virtually impossible to make veto spending bills a plus political. He disagrees with it. I think it's virtually impossible. We will try. We have to make the best of a bad situation. And the way you try is to say, is to raise the tax issue. You've got to say, this spending bill will raise taxes.
Yep.
This spending bill will raise taxes. We've got to start hammering that. That's the major argument against the government. You've got to use. He's going to go wild spending spree. He's going to raise the taxes of every American. And that knocks the hell out of tax reform for him. Now, on the other hand, with the responsibility to run the damn country, we've got to just look down the road and not get ourselves settled with a lot of awful crime.
Yep.
So there we are.
Well, you get into this sort of situation. We've got this so-called rural revenue sharing bill coming along,
yeah,
which is rural development.
Yeah.
On the one hand, we've done a lot of talking about rural development.
Oh, God, I have. Terrible.
On the other hand, it's going to come in at $1 billion to $2 billion over. Cook tells me this morning we can roll on the veto. And I said, is there any chance? And he said, I have to tell you in all honesty, there's no chance. Now, that's got all the worst of both worlds on it.
Excellent.
That's That's what I think he commented.
Can we get it down?
Well, here's what I think you may be able to do.
Is there any way we can...
Here's
an authorization.
It's an authorization. It's an authorization, but here's what I think we may be able to do.
Is it an authorization?
Yeah, it's an authorization.
Okay.
Here's
the water bill does, since I'm against it.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Well, we've sent signals all over on that.
If we get rolled on that, I'll just get rolled.
Okay. The thing that I think you may be able to do is this. Monday or Tuesday of next week, coming off this cabinet meeting, you send a message to the Congress, which doesn't discuss any of these bills individually, but talks about taxes and prices.
Right.
And the reason for congressional restraint. We've got a thing just about ready on that now. It wasn't good enough, but we will have.
Good.
That may have the effect of driving some of these down within at least the permissible limits. But there's some, like the water bill, that is predictable right now you're going to have to veto. At Labor AG government, you're going to have to veto.
That's a pleasure.
Now, it's going to be a real battle for Ziegler and Chuck's guys and everybody to try and get through to the people that you're not against clean water and you're not against kids going to school by your act of veto. And you know that the Eagleton's going to race all around this country, beat us over the head with those vetoes. But we can soften that a little bit. We can, dominate the news one day with your omnibus congressional message in advance, saying the vetoes are coming, and you better be ready for them. And the vetoes don't stand for positions on the merits. They stand for lower taxes and lower prices. And it seems to me that's the only hope you've got. Otherwise, you just take the heat. No, I don't. You can't sign the damn things.
You could agree to sign them.
No, I sure don't.
Does he think you can sustain the water refill?
Yeah, that's reasonable. That's within margin. Now, the other thing, though, that you're going to find is that the Democrats are going to get awful damn political on some of this stuff. And where we have a
they'll hang them on their bills.
Working conservative Democratic coalition on some of these, before the conventions, we may not have after, and the boys want to go up and take new nose counts on some of them. And so anything they tell you about the counts has to be taken with that caveat right now. But it really is. It's a lousy time for Congress to be sitting. They've adjourned the
old scheme for the adjournment. Much
that's right. That's right. In terms of the well-being of the country. But Weinberger's got another idea that I think is a pretty damn good one that'll frame this somewhat, and that is to demand a spending ceiling, to demand that the Congress discipline itself, to call on McGovern to join us in supporting.
I don't want to.
You don't call him. No. We got plenty of foot soldiers that can call on him.
Others can do it, yeah.
And Weinberger can call on him,
right.
Or somebody else.
That's right.
To join in fiscal sanity and responsibility for the Congress to impose a spending ceiling. That'll help also to crystallize the issue. So that's available to us. We're going to have the cabinet meeting, and we can brief after the cabinet meeting, and Ford and Scott can go out and make some of these same kinds of points. Now, he's got some specific proposals in here on revenue sharing and welfare reform and other cuts. I think the thing you ought to ask him to do is to prepare a specific list of cuts, but not general revenue sharing and not welfare reform. Welfare reform, I think you're home free on. You're not going to spend any money.
Well, it's a moot question. They aren't going to pass it.
That's right. That's my belief. That's my belief. And if they did, it would be a pile. So I don't think you'd have any.
There's enough votes to stop either.
Yeah. Long will filibuster if it's too liberal. We believe Ribicoff will filibuster if it's too conservative. And we don't take responsibility for either one. They're guys. revenue sharing, there's a very interesting article that is out, the National Journal, is a hell of a fine publication here locally. I don't know if you ever see it, but they do real good analytical pieces. They've done one now on how we're fixed with mayors politically. And we are in fat city with the mayors of this country. They just couldn't say enough nice things about you. About your leadership on revenue sharing and about how this administration's been sensitive to the needs of the cities and all of that kind of thing. It's a hell of a piece. And one or two detractors, Lindsay and a couple of others. But in the main, the broad strength among mayors is very impressive.
But you know, it's a small thing, it's not insignificant that the mayor's numbers of cities number 3 and 4, Philadelphia and Los Angeles, Democrats.
Well, and in this article, we turned up a whole bunch of other names, and we'll go after them and see if we can get some endorsements. You bet. You bet. This came in just this morning, but it's
looking at revenue sharing. I realize we can't be against everything we're in for, and that's what we might get. But,
and ideologically, I think it's pretty good. I think it
general.
Sure is.
Of course, you think the special is also sound.
I think it's even sounder, but I think our chance of getting it is so remote. No.
With this rural development thing, why the hell can't we stop it?
Well, because it's a pork barrel piece, and it's a whole lot of new categorical programs. It isn't really revenue sharing.
But you think that we could then, in our budget thing, just not budget it?
That's right. That's right.
But we can do that, that's a promise.
Okay. Well, you may have to swallow that damn thing. We will yet have to see. Now, the other thing that Weinberger is for that isn't a half bad idea is coming out in January with a detailed proposal for the out year budget for 75, showing a balanced budget.
Right.
As a general goal.
For 2 years.
As a general goal.
Right.
I think it's good discipline for the government, and it's kind of an exercise that his guys
can also do. It will give hope to the business community and hope to everybody else that we find it.
Yep.
That's a balanced budget. In real terms,
yeah,
rather than
right.
In absolute terms. You know, George Shultz told me that he's very excited about it. He said, you know, as a result of the revenue inflow, he said, you know, we may reach now the full employment balance this year.
Yeah, much lower deficit than
22 rather than 38.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
That's very damn good.
It shows that things are moving.
Compensating errors is about what it amounts to. Well, that covers the things that are in Weinberger's paper.
Fine. Well, you
and
can,
I'll check the.
I raised a couple of other points.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a dinner for the Italian Prime Minister. From a political standpoint, the best man that I could have sing for that dinner is Frank Sinatra. Mitchell, I know, thinks, I don't know, he thinks, well, no, he didn't, and he didn't. You know, Agnew was better.
Yeah.
The question is, I just need to know whether there's going to be a criminal complaint against Frank before the election, or are you going to? What is it? Do you know anything about it at this moment?
I know what his background is with regard to the mafia.
It is deep.
And it's ancient. It's nothing current at all. And there would be no charges against him arising from it.
What's your judgment about it? I think it's a good stroke. I think we ought to do it.
He's identified with the administration now through Henry and the vice president. And we haven't taken any gaffes as a result.
This committee didn't turn up anything.
Oh, no, they're all through with him. And he won the day.
Oh, he tapped.
Oh, God, he just smote them hip and thigh, and he got the committee counsel to back down and say the only thing they had on him was hearsay. And then his counsel went out on television last night and just did a beautiful job. This guy is a business advisor and a lawyer.
All right.
And I'd love to have him. He's a rough, tough Italian. And he was being interviewed by the press, and in a very smooth way, he put Sinatra's case, and a reporter asked him a question. And he said, don't ask me any of those silly damn reporter-loaded questions. He says, I'm in the business of asking questions. I know that racket. He says, I'm not going to waste my time with any damn question like that. Then turned on his heel and walked away. It was a beautiful job. It was a colossal put down. I think you take a little damage around the edges, maybe, but the net plus for the Italian community, guys like Rizzo and so on, would be all of the good. Now, it might not be a bad idea to call Rizzo and ask him what he thinks about having Sinatra, because, of course, he's a big Law and Order type.
Yeah.
And it would be
better than that.
Yeah.
Which brings me, of course, to our blood thing. We are, I noticed, and I like this, the paper, and I wrote a new summary of them. I noticed that some of the practices are transmitted. Now, very, very important. Scott should slash the shit out of Grant's. You should slash the shit out of Grant's camp and the Democrats. And force McGovern. McGovern must be forced to say, what does he want to do about the Pennsylvania blood thing? Because I assume that's popular in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
That's one we did well, as I understand. Now, if you could get somebody more spectacular than what he's out front of, you know, that's the only thing I would suggest. He's great at the details, which are so key.
Well, maybe I can do that tomorrow. I thought I'd have a briefing after this cabinet meeting.
Right.
And, well, I'd be Friday. But maybe we can try
it. Well, we're meeting governors tomorrow already, for sure.
Yeah.
Who's going to brief on that?
Well, maybe I should do that instead. And let Scott and Ford do Friday.
Scott and Ford, but
yeah.
I guess you might give Scott a call and say, God, look at this. The president put this in because you put it in. Are you going to complete it? You got to slash Cranston.
All right.
And let him demand. See, it's just from the White House.
All
we
right.
do it as me demand.
Right.
I meant that Scott, and you can follow up.
Okay.
You could say this is something, but I want to be sure. Are we getting some credit now on the front?
Oh, likely.
In our meeting, the successor was brilliant.
It really turned out, if I say so. The vice president handled it first grade, and good job all around.
Now, I think the vice president could call him. That's not bad. The government repudiated the Democrats for saying this. Isn't that an idea?
Yeah.
I don't know. We all can talk to the vice president. It's pretty hard to get around some of these things. But if he handled this thing,
I'm sure, Grant.
Would you try to leave there?
Sure.
Then call on him to say yes or no to repudiate Grant's.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But if we're going to give money away, for Christ's sakes, let's put a little credit for it.
Right.
But I think it was right that he did this. Don't you?
We're also adding South Dakota to it, and we're putting out this because this is next notice and so on. Call it to your attention. But that's moving today.
That's great. And this is next
to
my attention. Did you mention the fact that your parents were married in South Dakota?
No, I didn't mention that. I mentioned it. I played from the standpoint that she'd been there at the time of the incident.
All the women, in fact.
Okay.
She had special ties to the state. Her parents were married in South Dakota and lived there. Personal things. Might as well stick a comb on top of it. Crash.
believe it or not. Now, Hart, we've cultivated, or I have.
Good.
And I've got a damn good relationship with
well,
him.
Good.
And
good.
I can get anything on that damn CBS News I wanted just by calling Hart.
Good.
And
good.
Capolo, of course, we commiserated with when he lost his job, and we offered to help him and all that kind of stuff. And so there's a couple there. I don't know about him. Nobody that I know of. They've got a, you know, they've got a pretty new...
Valeriani.
Well, no. Valeriani's out to make a score. He's got to prove himself. And,
Chancellor. Check. Well,
yeah, but in working around Miami, I think we're going to be able to exploit some of these guys like Capo in making some spot news as we go on to the convention.
I noticed one other thing. The decision of the Supreme Court of Appeals on the mission.
Yeah.
I hope to Christ that doesn't take them off the hook.
No, it forces Rothman out into a final order.
Okay.
Well, he'll have to do it fairly soon because school's not open. He no longer has the luxury of being able to ride along on a non-appealable order. It's a very happy result. It'll keep the thing popping. It'll keep it popping, I should say, right now, between now and the time school opens, because Roth will have to pull himself together now and enter a final order. It'll be appealed. We'll be in on the appeal. We can go up and criticize the order.
Will the appeal come to be tried for the control?
I don't think so. I don't see how it could be.
Well, then what'll happen? The order will go into effect.
No, they'll argue that the Broomfield thing stops it, stays it. And then the NAACP people will challenge that.
Yeah.
And the efficacy of the stay then will be litigated all through this period of time. So you
said, in other words, we will not have the consternation in the district this year, unfortunately.
Oh, I think you'll have consternation in the sense of uncertainty, but you won't have the kids being bused because hell are any buses.
The issue there.
It would be a very lively issue. You bet there would. Very lively.
Keep
rattling around.
Try to think of something every 2 weeks to get up there.
Well, we've got an invitation for somebody to go up to a citizen protest meeting, for instance, next week. So we're going to send Balzano up there, and he can demagogue around, and then we'll be going back in to see the governor. Morgan's in and out of there. We got a special counsel that's in and out of there. And we'll keep it whipped up.
Right.
Griffin will keep introducing his damn amendment because he may screw us up just a little bit. We're trying to get him to cool off that just a little bit. Because we have a chance to get the moratorium shaken loose in the House with Palmer. We get one more vote on the Rules Committee, one more Republican, or even a Democrat. We can get Palmer to take that thing away from the House Judiciary. Get it moving. Kuczynski, on the other hand, is trying to get Percy. He started hearings on your other bill, Equal Educational Opportunity Act bill, in his subcommittee. And he's having a lot of fun with that. He'll probably get a majority of that subcommittee to vote for it. But he probably will not be able to get a majority of labor and education.
Which side do you think will come down and fight between Haney and the government people?
I don't know. They asked Kuczynski yesterday if he supported the ticket. And he said, yeah, he supported the ticket about the way Percy supports the president.
Kuczynski's trying to make something out of Percy's nonsense.
Yeah.
Walker,
Dean this morning, and Bob talked to Mitchell. I don't know what transpired there, but he sent Dean over to talk to Mitchell. And there's some cooking this morning, and I haven't been in line. I've had some other things going. So I don't know what the latest is. My conclusion is that from yesterday, Dean came out the airplane and briefed us after you all left. And my conclusion is that this little scenario that they had dreamed up that was gonna preserve Magruder is not gonna work. And Magruder is probably gonna have to take the slide. And
how's he slide?
Well, you just have to take whatever the lumps come. You'll have to take responsibility for the thing. And they're not gonna be able to contrive a story that indicates that he didn't know what was going on. But I think that's what Dean's working on this morning.
Did he go?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord, yes. He's in it with both feet.
He can't control it, sir. You know, I'd like to see this thing work out, but I've been through these. This thing, the worst thing a guy can do, the worst thing, there are two things. Each is bad. One is to lie, and the other is to cover up.
Yeah.
If you cover up, lie, you're going to be perjured. Now, basically, that was the whole story of the Hiss case.
Yep.
It was the story of the 5%ers and the rest. It's a hell of a goddamn thing. I hate to see it, but let me say, we'll take care of it immediately afterwards.
Well,
in his case, you'd be easy as pie. Well, in the case of all of them, if you can keep these clowns, like these Vietnam veterans against the war, I mean, you can just give them a stall.
Well, we'll do our best to lay that foundation. But as I say, I think Bob and Dean will have a better feel for this a little later. After talking to Mitchell, after John's talking to Mitchell, see where we are. That fellow Caddy, the lawyer, who wouldn't answer questions because of privilege communication, refused to answer. Judge cited him for contempt. He appealed it to the local court of appeals. They affirmed the trial judge, and he's now down there answering questions. As far as I know,
that's probably what's bringing it up.
It could well be.
Who is Caddy?
Caddy is a 37-year-old lawyer who was very active in the YAPS and the very conservative young American.
Who's he representing?
He represented the five guys who got caught the night they were caught. He was at the police station within minutes after the police brought the prisoners in there. He'd obviously been called by somebody from the outside. Well, I think what had happened is that Hunt was in the neighborhood, and when he saw these guys get caught or heard it over the bug, he called Caddy. Caddy went down and tried to arrange bail and advised him not to talk and so forth. So he's been asked by the grand jury, who called you? And he's referred to refused to answer. And
gotta
bring Hunt into it.
Well, Hunt especially, what about his Hunt?
He'll bring Hunt in, bring Lydia in. And this guy has an indirect connection to Colson because he is the attorney for Colson's secretary, who is in the process of getting a divorce. But that's as close as it comes to the White House.
Well,
is one step removed from it. Peterson's been very good with Dean in trying to help to evaluate the thing as it goes along.
Yeah.
And in keeping Dean informed of the directions of things.
The U.S. Attorney. So.
Yeah. And he's managed to keep a hold of the U.S. Attorney better. It's a better situation than it was. AFL-CIO Executive Council is adjourned. Three items came out of the meeting. AFL-CIO will not endorse any candidate as a whole. Each union can endorse who it wants. AFL-CIO will concentrate on congressional races only.
Could be better.
Jim Hudson.
Well, my real problem here is the outcome is tough. But the important thing is to get the goddamn thing done.
Yep.
Urging
that. We're urging that. I was all over Dean on that last night. It's never going to be any sooner. I mean, we've got to get it done as soon as possible so that people have a chance to forget.
What do you say?
He agrees. He agrees with that. And he says they're not dragging their feet in this by any means. And, he's enlisted on that.
You mean that they circuit court ordered?
It surprised me. Well, except that this damn circuit that we've got here with Bazelon and so on is, they surprise me every time they do something.
Why didn't he appeal to the Supreme Court?
Well, he could, I suppose. They don't have to grant certiorari. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
But he's not just
my understanding is that he was going to go in this morning. Now, he may go down and refuse and take it to Supreme Court. I don't know. I just don't have those facts.
So we keep it all in one hat here. It's Dean with you or Dean with Bob or both?
Both. The two of us have been talking to him more or less together right along. And we've been drawing on Bob's political judgment on this, which has been pretty good. And Dean called us on the airplane, said he had to talk to us, so we stayed on the airplane after it landed, and he came out, and we sat and talked for about an hour, and went through all kinds of stuff that he didn't like to talk about on the phone. He had a long meeting with Peterson.
But really, that's not Magruder.
Yeah. All right.
But what does Magruder say, basically?
Well, he says that he wanted to get a lot of information, that he felt he had to have information for a lot of different reasons. They had a kind of a dirty tricks department that
disrupted the convention.
Did, yeah. Good reason. Right.
We had these stories.
Right.
You know, Veterans Against the War.
And that imposed on Liddy the responsibility for getting it.
We had our own security protecting us against ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. The problem is that once he starts to talk, I don't know what the scope of the, what the limitations of the scope of the examination might be. And that's what
one thing, of course, I suppose the main thing is whether he is the one where it stops, whether he goes to Mitchell or home. Is that it?
That's it. And this is one of the questions that we raised with Dean last night. Dean said he didn't have any confidence, really, that Magruder was sufficiently tough and stable to be able to hold the line if he were pressed by adroit interrogators.
Do you think Mitchell?
Yeah, I assume so. I don't know that he did. Yeah, I think so. See,
I can't believe that.
Well, the fruits of this thing were around. There were transcripts of overheard conversations, for instance. And I just have a hunch that, and I don't know this. I don't know this. This may be unfair. But I just have a feeling that Mitchell, in his situation, so anybody in the White House, including Timmons, that ever did or that ever knew about this operation. Matter of fact, it's interesting.
I would not think that Bob would.
Bob and John Dean had a meeting with Mitchell and Magruder and some people about a different operation that was proposed, which they disapproved. And they had a right to feel, as a result of that meeting, that nothing like this was going on. But after that was disapproved, then they went ahead with this other operation without there ever being another meeting involving White House people. But the question of whether Magruder will hold and take the gaffe and assume the responsibility and say Mitchell didn't know anything about this is the tough question. Well, you know that when you've got a fairly callow guy on the stand and you work on him properly, you can get him to say things that he doesn't intend to say. And
but that would seem to me to be
I think it's a risk.
It's a risk. Yeah. I agree, but I would think that Magruder on that, because look, there's too much rise on this thing. You cannot put John Mitchell on this thing.
I appreciate that, and you can condition it for a thing of that kind. But I would be willing to bet you a new hat that a guy like Edward Bennett Williams could break Magruder down. Oh, you start out with a very wide-ranging foundation, which you would show that almost everything Magruder did, he did in concert with Mitchell.
Yeah.
And you get him to agree with that. Right. Just wait the conduct, you know.
Sure.
But even notwithstanding that, Mr. Magruder, when such and such a matter came up, you didn't decide that yourself. You checked with Mr. Mitchell. That's right. Well, now let's take this other kind of situation. When that kind of a thing came up, did you do that on your own, or did you check that with Mr. Mitchell? Well, I think I did that on my own. Well, here's a letter from your file. Matter of fact, you wrote John Mitchell a memo about that on such a date, didn't you? Well, yes, I did. And that was for the purpose of getting his approval. Yes. And you go through and you just tie him in a web of circumstances, and then you say, now, let's go to this circumstance. Here you are going to send paid spies into the Democratic National Committee and subject your candidate to all kinds of possible exposure. And you want us to believe that you didn't check any of this with Mr. Mitchell, even though these much more minor things, so on and so forth. Now, he might hang on his denial, and again, he might not, depending on how it was done. He would do it as baldly as that, but you know, you nibble away at the edges.
This is Edward Bennett Williams in the private case.
Yeah. That's where our exposure seems to me is.
I suppose there. What about our delaying tactics there?
Well,
they're still
quite
there.
Quite good.
You're getting delayed. You mean delay of the deposition?
Yeah. They're still working on that. And Colson's supposed to have been this week. Judge simply refused to order. They've been working with the judge on the timing of this thing.
But this is only this week.
I understand, but it's a friendly judge.
Yeah.
Very friendly judge.
They let him off in 3 months.
Oh, he didn't. He just refused to order. He didn't put it to any date certain.
Oh, I see.
Sooner or later, that's going to happen. You know.
Yeah. Well, sooner or later. I guess our problem is
later,
just a little later.
Best tactic.
What do you want to do?
any story that you come up with.
Right.
So he said, whatever we come up with, has got to be watertight.
That's why there's never a cover up thing. I wonder. I don't think it bothers me so much to cover up, John. If they had confessions and convictions of some, that's really what I think is the important thing.
They'll have not only the five burglars, but they would have the two mystery men, Lydia and Hunt.
Both of them. That's it.
They'll have to be convicted. I just don't see any escape for that. And that'll give the public a lot of blood. Give the Democrats a lot to chew on. The Bruder,
Lydia and Hunt doesn't bother me too much. So
no.
I'm not worried about that.
Well,
everybody's talking about it. Lydia
used to be in the White House, you know, he worked here and so on, and so there's some of that.
That's right. But that's been already said.
I'm still hopeful that Dean and Mitchell would conclude that the Magruder scenario will work. And it'll wash. There are no extrinsic loose end facts that will impeach it. So that the disloyal guys in the U.S. Attorney's Office don't have anything to get their teeth into. If all you've got is the testimony of Baldwin or somebody like that, who's an outsider, I think we may be able to pull it off. But there's no sense in starting it and then having it disproved. That'll be doubly damaging.
Then you've got cover up and conviction.
Right.
Which, I say, is what happened in our investigation before.
Well, and Dean's been admonished not to contrive a story that's liable not to succeed. Trying to take all the risk out of it. If there's risk that remains, you might as well just go whole hog.
I must say, I can't see how we're standing firm on this.
Well, he may want to, but
he may not be tough enough.
May not be tough enough. That's my fear. We've got two fellows leaving Russ Train's operation.
Yeah, but you could do that.